We're going to recap the whole, we're talking about 1 John for those who were not here. 1 John. We did 1 John chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so this recap is going to be an open question for anybody out here. There are several themes, couple in particular, in the whole study of 1 John. Anybody here remembers? What is that theme? Raise your hand, I'll come to you. Okay. Say it again.
Love one another and to obey God's commands.
I don't think we're on here. Test, test.
To obey his commands and to love one another.
Okay, so loving one another, obeying his commands, I see that as being three of the more primary ones there. That's pretty much it. Anybody else can think of anything? Yep, we're loving one another, right? Loving our sister and brother.
Love our sister and brother.
There you go, loving one another. That's the theme, isn't it? Okay. Now, let's go to loving God. What do we have to do to love God? Huh? There you go. Obey his instructions, aka his commandments. All right, what else do we have to do? Huh? You better believe it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. Gotta accept the Son. What was that again, brother? Okay, there you go. Gotta accept the Son. So, gotta believe in the Son, the deity of the Son. People who do not believe that Jesus Christ came, gave his life on Calvary, was buried and resurrected. The Bible calls that the spirit of what? I mean, what you're saying is a corrective term, but there is a special name and it starts with an A.
Antichrist.
You got it. Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you have people teaching the Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming. Ooh, spooky, you know. No, the spirit of Antichrist was there in the beginning, okay? It's just people that reject the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. When they reject that. Okay? The Messiah. So that is the spirit of Antichrist. Now we're going to move over, since we understand the themes of 1 John, was basically the L, the O, the V, and the E. It's all about love. How do we know we love God? By loving one another. How's another way that we know we love God?
By keeping his commandments.
There you go. Anybody in here have any questions to themselves? Don't answer. Do I really love God? I don't know if I really love God or not, right? That could be the question. I've had that question. I've came, there you go. We got a sister in here that loves God. All right, I'll say to you right now, prove to me that you love God.
He loves us, he died for us.
That's, we sing that song, right? Why do I love him? Because he loved us so, right? He loved us even when we were in our own sins, right? When we were in our sins, he loved us. By doing what? How did he show that he loves us? Huh? By giving his only begotten Son. Even when we were still in our sins, he gave his Son as a sacrifice. Why? To bring us back to him. Garden of Eden. We had a connection with God. Then they sinned, Adam and Eve, and they separated us from God. And then Jesus Christ came to what? Bring us back to God. So without Jesus Christ, you cannot have God. That's another thing we learn. Now, we're going to go ahead to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. It's a short little section, but it's full of goodness, as most of them are. So let's say we'll have someone read just verses, that is, since it's so small. 1 and 3. Who's going to read 1 and 3 for me and wait till I come to you? Raise your hand. Okay. Let me go come over here to you. All right. Again, we're 2 John verses 1, 2, 3. 1 through 3.
Oh. From the church leader to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love because we share the truth, I'm not the only one who loves you. Everyone who knows the truth also loves you. We love you because of the truth which lives in us, and we will be with us forever. God will, mercy and peace will be with us. They come from God the Father and from Yahshua Christ, who in truth and love is the Father's Son.
All right, so now let's break it down. The elder unto the elect lady. That has been, theologians, people who study this, are going to get locked up in this. Whoa, what does it mean about the elect lady? What's that? Ooh. Anybody have any idea? Doesn't matter what the idea is, because a lot of people have different ideas, even theologians. Huh? Anybody? In the first sentence here, it says the elder. Well, anybody know who that is? The elder unto the elect lady. I'll give you a clue. We're reading from the elder's book. Nobody with that big clue? Who's talking? The Apostle John. Okay, so we know was he an elder? Yes, he's an elder. Okay, so we're talking about the Apostle John, and he's talking to the elect lady. Wow, who is this elect lady? Goodness. Ah, look at you. Oh, so quickly. That's right. It is the bride. It is the church. It's not talking about an individual lady and her children. Okay, so let's say you're here at Main Street in this congregation. You are the church. And then every time a person comes and is baptized, there's children being born in that church, right? More and more Christians coming from that church. So we're talking about the elect lady and her children. All the children in the church is what we're talking about. Okay? Whom I love in the faith, in the truth, I'm sorry. I want you to emphasize the word, pay emphasis to the word truth. If you remember in Ephesians chapter 6, that was part of putting on your shield, right? I mean, not your shield, but you're putting on your armor, thank you. The armor of God was that you had to stand in truth, right? Okay, so, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. So this truth, and I'm going to emphasize that, is something that he, John, stands on. And those before him stand on. The truth. Is it singular or plural? Are there many truths so that I can do whatever I think is true to me? And it doesn't matter what you think or I think. It's your truth. You may have your truth. I have my truth. Can we have that in Christianity? Several truths, or is there one truth? Because here is an inspired man of God who is an apostle, the Apostle John, saying that he's standing on one truth, the truth, the truth that he has given you is the same truth that he received before. In other words, nothing new. No new truth. No new revelation, right? There's a saying that says, beware of a preacher that tries to show you something new in a 2,000-year-old book. Okay? Beware. And truly beware. Because he is going on a different level. He's not teaching what's already been taught. And verse 2 says, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. That's why it's so important. Man's truth, like science, and this is something I came up with myself. I said scientific proof or scientific fact today is scientific falsehood tomorrow with the advent of new technology. There you go. So here it is scientifically, it's true today, what we find out and we tell you. It's scientific proof. But when we have new technology, that truth changes. Okay, it's like, okay, well, we thought this was what it was, but now that we have a better telescope, we can see that there's not 100 stars, there's more than 1,000 stars. Wow. And then 1,000 stars become million stars. And then million stars become billion stars. With the advent of new technology, science changes. Their truth changes. But the truth of God stays the same because it's eternal. It's never going to change. Now, man's truth changes, but God's truth never changes. That's the point. Now it says, grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. All right. Now, first of all, let's look at grace. Grace is like a Greek term, and it is basically a favor of God to save sinners. That's where we get grace from, right? It's freely given to us, but it is something that comes from God to save us from sin. And then it says mercy, and we see mercy is the compassion of God for sinners that he has on sinners. Thank God for his mercy. And then peace is a Hebrew word. It is basically the misery of sin being removed. Him removing the sin from us. That's what gives us peace. That's how we live in this world with peace, peaceful. Him removing the sin from us, right? And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. So now it's telling us who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of the Father. In truth and in love. And that's how we give people the truth, is in love. Now let's go to verses 4, 5, and 6. Who wants to read verses 4, 5, and 6? Raise your hand. Verses 4, 5, and 6. All right, I'm going to come over here, Brother Webb.
All right, brother. All right. I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy servant walking in truth, as we have received and commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that for which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it.
Okay, now let's look at 5. We'll dissect. For now, I beseech thee, Lady, and again, we're talking about children, right? Children of God, the church. So, church, not as though I wrote a new commandment. Again, he's emphasizing there's nothing new, I'm telling you. The truth that I'm presenting to you is the same truth that you heard before. Nothing has changed. Not give me anything new. And that's one thing we have to be mindful of when we're presented with new truth, things that are outside of the truth of God. As we have received a commandment from the Father, so it's the same, basically. The same as the apostles, the same message, that they receive, they're actually preaching and teaching to the church. And in 5 it says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment. I'm telling you the same thing. It's nothing new, right? Unto thee, but that which we have heard from the beginning, even from the beginning, we love one another. See, now I tell you, we can't get away from that. Because we found out in 1 John that you cannot say that you know God if you don't love your brother and sister. You can't say that you love God if you don't love your brother and sister. That's when we learn. We have to love each other. That is so important for us to love one another. Verse 6 says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And again, we talked about that. The Bible is very clear. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So that's how we show that we love God, by keeping his commandments. And we show that we love him by also loving one another. And we show that we know him by the love that we have toward one another. And he says, by this ye shall know that these are my disciples. Why? How? By the love that they have toward one another. We have to love one another. Okay, so in 6 again, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Now, somebody read verses 7, 8, and 9. Raise your hand, I'll come to you. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Don't everybody raise your hand at the same time. I won't know where to go. All right. Again, for those who may have just came in, we're reading 2 John, and we're going to read verse 7, 8, and 9 now.
It says, dear friends, I am not writing you a new commandment, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command was
Second John. It should be for many to see.
It's 1 John chapter 2, right?
Second John. Yeah, or we
okay, chapter 7. Yeah. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son.
Okay, so we've heard this thing before, so let's go ahead and dissect it. For many deceivers entered into the world, and we look at 2 John, people argue about when was it written. Was it written AD 50, AD 70? I mean, it's just, there's so many things. So AD 45, as early as AD 45, AD 35, and there's so many things. So Jesus Christ dies AD 30, right? So he dies at the age of 33. Then afterwards, you're going to have the apostles going around, they're writing letters, and then they compile everything and put it together. So we're talking first century, right? We're in the, 21st century now? So this is the first century that this was written. They're already talking about deceivers leaving the body, the church, going out and deceiving the world. So for many deceivers entered into the world who confessed not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. What is the biggest sin that the ancient Hebrew people did? Huh? They denied the Son. They denied him. He ain't our Messiah. Okay? Not our Messiah. We his blood's on our hands. Well, it was the worst thing Hebrew people did. Was put the blood of Christ on their heads and the heads of their descendants. Because the Hebrew people all around the world have been suffering ever since. It's a horrible crime that they committed. And so that deception came from the Sadducees and the Pharisees, They basically rejected Jesus Christ as being the Son of the living God. Curses the man who hangeth upon a tree. So since he hang upon a tree, he can't be our Messiah. He was cursed. We're looking for another Messiah. Do we know of a major religion today that rejects Jesus? And they're looking for the Messiah to come? Yeah. We know who they are, right? They're waiting on the Messiah to come right now. This is a deceiver and what? Antichrist. So that's your definition of an antichrist. Someone who does not accept that, yes, Yeshua, if they don't accept him, that is the spirit of antichrist. Verse 8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. You fought for it hard for this truth. Don't lose it, but that we receive our full reward. God wants us to receive our full reward. Now, what is this? This tells us that there is an opportunity for us to be deceived, to lose what we have. What is that? The truth. And certain people come in there, well, you know, Jesus resurrected, but he really didn't resurrect like they teach. See, it wasn't a physical thing. He resurrected in the hearts of his disciples. I'm saying that because they're teaching that today. They said it wasn't literal. They said, you people are crazy. You're reading the Bible literally. You're not supposed to read it literally. It's figuratively. It's just for you to learn a lesson. Jesus Christ didn't walk on water. He didn't perform any of these miracles. That was just for you. It was a lesson for you to learn, okay? So don't, you silly person, don't believe in miracles. They didn't exist. That's the kind of stuff they teach. And that means that people who have been taught the truth, that he came showing signs and wonders, all of a sudden you'd have to dismiss that when you've been taught to believe that, oh, there was no forms and miracles. It's just symbolic. It's not to be taken literally. You know, that's what they're teaching today. They're teaching our kids that today. Go ahead, Jeff.
What are you saying in verse 8 where it says, but that we may be rewarded fully.
Yeah.
That's standing firm on his word to the end.
That is it. It's that we have many, we're in 2 John. Yeah, we made it to 2 John, and we're in we're looking at verse 8 right now. So it's 2 John, first chapter, and then we're looking at verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a what? Full reward. How do you receive your full reward? You continue in the faith to the end. There's an example that tells us that it's a race that we're in right now. So the person that finishes the race has to finish the crossing line, right? You got to keep going. Wonder if you never finished that crossing line. Am I saying that right? Crossing line? Finish line. Yeah, I knew that sounded strange. The finish line, right? The ribbon. First person breaks the ribbon. But if you pass that area, that means that you completed the race. What about those who do a really good race, but right before the end, they kind of fall down. They have to be taken off. Do they get their full reward? Can they say that they finished the race? They didn't finish. They started it. They did. They may have done real good, but they didn't finish. So that's what he's calling us to do. Stay on the word. Finish the race. Don't let somebody come to you with false doctrine and pull you away, okay, from that straight and narrow path, just like the Wizard of Oz. Follow the what? Yellow brick road. That one road to take you to truth.
The race ain't really finished until we get to God, right?
You got it. That's the race is continuous until you, well, when you croak, that's your race. Okay.
That's when it
is for you. Exactly. Other people may have their race still going on. When you croak, when you die, that's it for you.
That's
ready for you. The end of your race, it's time for you to be judged. That's it. You know, that's why I don't worry about, oh, the world's going to end in 100 years or 1,000. Who cares? The world's going to end in 1,000,000. I'm not going to be here.
You may go tomorrow.
I'm thinking about me. I may go tomorrow. May go today. It may die right now. You know, Am I ready to meet my Maker when I die? That is the only thing we need to concern ourselves with. Are we ready? That's it. You know, other than that, who cares?
That's why it's always good to never put off tomorrow what you can do today.
Very, very true. Never put off tomorrow what you can do today. Why? Because tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow doesn't even exist, actually. Doesn't even exist. Have you ever worried about things about, oh, not tomorrow, I got to do this and do this. And you're worried about something that's not even real. You know it's not real until it's taking place. And when tomorrow comes, tomorrow doesn't even exist. Why? Because when tomorrow comes, what is it? It's today. It's like we run to tomorrow, but we never get to tomorrow. Because once you wake your eyes up to the next, it's today. It's already today. There is no tomorrow.
You know, the majority of the things that we worry about as far as tomorrow or later in the day or whatever, they never even happen.
Exactly. That happened to me so many times. It never even happens. We worry about stuff that never takes place. So we're worried about stuff that's not even real. It's just a fantasy. We make it happen by working, thinking about it.
What it is, it's our mind playing tricks on it. Our mind and already told us this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be. And when you worry, you worry. And tomorrow, it'd be greater than it was.
What was the W word you just used?
Worry.
And what are we not supposed to do?
Worry.
Worry. So that's one thing that he took away from us was worry. He says, consider the lily fields, consider the birds, how they don't sow, they don't build, you know, factories, you know, barns where they store their food and stuff like that. That way I could have something to eat. They just fly down there and expect God to feed them. You know, birds do that. I love watching birds.
Now, I'd like to refer that to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, and about your body. What will you wear, if not your life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do no sow or reap or store away in barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be by worrying add a single hour to your life?
Can't do anything. Can't worry, can't change anything by worrying. So the worrying is something we need to get away from. Let's look at 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. All right, so then what does that tell us if we dissect? Whosoever transgresseth, you do bad, you know, you go away from word of God is transgressing. If you go away from his commandments. And abideth not in the doctrines of Christ. Is that what that says?
Yeah.
Is it? Look at it. Does it say, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrines of Christ? Is that what it says? Doctrine, one, singular, not plural. Okay, there's only one. And you're going to see that theme over and over again. Ephesians 4:4. One body, one God, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. There's only one. Okay, and there's only one gospel. There's only one doctrine of Christ. There's many doctrines that come from other sources, but only one from Christ. So it says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So again, this whole theme of us not being able to get to God or have God without the Son, right? Not without his word. Somebody read 10, 11, and 12, and 13, and then we're going to go to some other scriptures to conclude. So 10 through 13.
If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed, having many things to write unto you. I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be filled. The children of thy elect sister greets thee. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so let's take this from verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not the doctrine, again, singular, right? The doctrine, receive him not into your house. We have people that come from different denominations. Nice people, right? Invite them in, talk to them. I'm just going to use one as an example, the Jehovah Witnesses, or let's say the Mormons, you know, because they're really about, you'll see them on their bicycles and they're out, they're talking to people, and they'll come up and they'll come into your home. So let's say you're talking with them and they bring another gospel completely, because it doesn't come from the Bible, it comes from the Book of Mormon. They have their own book, okay, that they come from. And so when they start preaching out of the Book of Mormon, it's another gospel other than Christ. So what should we do at that time? Based on verse 10?
You should turn a deaf ear to it because you're leading us astray.
Okay. They're leading you astray. Think about inviting somebody in your home. Are you the only one in your home? Do you have a family? Okay, you may be the head of the family. You may have a wife, you may have children, you may have visitors, and all of them are going to be hearing that false doctrine in your home. So if there come any unto you to bring not the doctrine received, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. When they leave and they're speaking this false doctrine, don't say, well, God bless you, brother. No. You don't want to bless somebody that's going around preaching and teaching false doctrine. That's poison. That is poison. There's only one way, and they're teaching there's multiple ways. There's only one word, you know, the word of God. They're teaching you the word of man. There's only one doctrine, and there's several doctrines, okay? So many doctrines, so many denominations. God is not the author of confusion, right? Quite the opposite. He wants us, his prayer is that we all be one, as he and the Father are one, okay? The church is to be one, not multiple, not denominations. He did not create denominations. Man did. Man branched off and created denominations. So we are not to bid them Godspeed, and I'm guilty of that. I didn't know what to say. I'm like, well, God bless you. And in my mind, I was thinking, God bless you to find the truth, you know? Because I couldn't persuade them one way or the other, but I think I should never have done that. I should have just told them, I'm sorry, but that's not the doctrine of Christ, and I'm going to have to ask you to leave right now, you know.
Well, I don't give them a chance to talk, because when they get ready to believe, I mean, I don't tell them, I don't be you know, mean with them, but this is one question I ask. I say, before we talk, do you believe that you have to repent in the name of Jesus Christ and be baptized? I mean, you have to repent and in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and be baptized for the remission of your sin. And if they say no, I say, we ain't got nothing to talk about that.
There you go. You can end it right there.
If I can sell you this, then I just might listen.
Exactly. So there you go. You can't get past that door because the gospel. That's it. So if you're showing me another gospel, then I know that this is not of God. You're coming by again. This whole theme in John chapter 2 here is to show us that we are to stand steadfast in the same doctrine that the apostles received. It's not different. It's the same. And let's look at verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So he comes to my home with false doctrine, saying that Jesus Christ is not really a deity. He's not really part of the Godhead. He was just created by God. I mean, we like his words and everything, but he wasn't God. He wasn't a deity. Okay, that's what some of them say. And so if I say, well, you know, God bless you, man, I mean, I just pray. I'm partaker of his evil deed. I just ask God to bless his false doctrine ministry. Okay, so I don't want to bring him in and make him think he'll go back and go, hey, man, I got these guys. That guy's a preacher in the Church of Christ. And guess what? He brought me in. I think I got to. He blessed me too. It's like, well, good going there, brother. Let's go convert some more of these, you know, these people.
And we're doing here just so. Uh-huh. What you just did would made him think that what he's preaching is true.
And I've been guilty of walking away saying, oh my, I just made this guy comfortable in their false religion. And my goodness, and I have to be very careful of that. So that one right there is something we have to really look at. Verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. We cannot bless him. Okay. Verse 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper or ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Sometimes certain things are so good, I could put it on paper and send it to you, but I'd rather look at you face to face. And that's what John is saying to the church. He's going, I'd rather tell you this face to face. And then it says the children of the elect, the Christians, the sister greet thee, you know, the elect sister. We're still talking about the church greet thee. So from this congregation to that congregation, the Main Street congregation goes to Walnut Hill congregation, and we just want to make sure you guys are on a straight and narrow and following the same. And we love you, and we just want to see you face to face, you know. And we're all on board, and we greet you. Greetings from the Main Street Church of Christ. You know what I mean? That's all that is. That's what he's doing. Now, let's look at another theme that we find here in 2 John. We find people leaving the faith. So now I need a strong reader, because you're going to be reading verses 1 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Somebody raise your hand who wants to take that. Okay, and then somebody gets 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Anybody? Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Everybody's going to read that.
Man, you may have to read that way. Are you ready?
All right, again, we're reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And I'll stop here when we want to emphasize something.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say something right here? That brethren, that means that he's talking to Christians.
Yeah.
He's talking to Christians. Right. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by words, nor by letters, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand.
Can you imagine being shaken at that time? Things were going to happen. You got to remember during this time, this is prior. You had the Romans persecuting Christians. So you had the persecution going on. Then you had from the Christians who were also Israelites, we had the desolation and annihilation of the Jewish state, okay, or the nation, I would say, Jewish nation. So they were going to have the temple destroyed, and they as a people, the way their culture, everything was going to be destroyed, and they'd be scattered throughout the world in AD 70. So all these things were coming. So deception was going to happen. Don't let your minds be troubled, right? By the spirit or by word, neither by letter. Don't care what's been written. If it's not the writings of God, don't worry about it. You know, the writings of Christ, the apostles that you receive, whatever spirit you see. There's, the demon has spirits. Remember back with Pharaoh, when he had the Israelites captive as slaves, and then Moses goes in there and he performs miracles?
Yeah.
What did sorcerers do? The Pharaoh's sorcerers, they had magic too? Yeah. So that magic, doesn't matter, you come and I don't care what they do in the sky. What kind of magic can tell me that this alien and whatever stuff that they're bringing is like they're performing miracles and try to bring a new way, you know, and explain to us or try to teach us a new way other than that which we've received already, right? Let them be accursed. The Bible says even if an angel comes from heaven and brings you another gospel other than which we have talked to you, let them be accursed, right? Okay, verse 3.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And let that man of sin be revealed, the son of prediction, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God said it in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Okay, right there. Can we think of someone during the first century that wanted you to consider them God? They were in Rome. 4 minutes, that's it. Goodness gracious. Okay, the Roman. The Caesar, right? Caesar is God. And then can we think of somebody that came later on, maybe 300, I would say 600 some odd years later, and created a church out that came from the Church of Christ, first one to come from the Church of Christ. And they built it based on the Roman model, right? And they have a person that sits and says he is God on earth. Does that sound familiar?
Was that Luther?
That's the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church.
Well,
the Pope is God on earth.
Yeah, the Pope.
That's his title, God on earth.
God on earth.
Yeah.
And they worship him like he's God on earth.
I tell you what, before we go into this, because there's so much, I didn't know we had such short time. Let us save this for next time. We're going to go through 2 Thessalonians and Timothy so that we can, we have 3 minutes. So, in summary, we are to, in order to love God, we have to keep his commandments. In order to prove that we know God, we have to keep his commandments and love one another. Okay? So it's all about loving one another. And then, in order, I'm just summarizing so we can conclude. And then we learn that we have to stay in his word so that we don't, what? Fall away to false doctrine. So we have to stay the course, stay on track until the end. Finish the race, right? And not let false doctrines and false prophets take us away off the path of destruction. And so then we're going to be learning next when we're looking at 2 Thessalonians that in the first century, there were already people teaching false doctrines. And there was a prediction that there'd be a great falling away. And even a man who would consider himself God. And they say, you'll see today, you'll hear that they're waiting on what? The Antichrist, the false Christ and all that. It's already been here. Been there, done that. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. That's what it's talking about. So the same warning that was given to the first century church, we need to follow that warning today. Why? Because what already happened in the past is already happening now and will happen in the future. Why? Because there's nothing new under the sun. One quick question, then we're going to go ahead and conclude.
I just want to say, all these people following the Catholic Church, and they found all these priests that molested all these kids. Catholic Church let that go on. Never said nothing. All they did was ship them off to different church. Then the FBI last week went in and got 30 of them out of there.
So we know that you got, okay, Catholic Church, we are the first church. Peter was the first pope. Everybody needs to be Catholic, right? Church universal. But what does the Bible say? You can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears, period. Don't care what you say verbally. We're going to watch you. We're going to see your actions. And if you're going around violating the word of God and doing these things, then you can't be of God. May God add a reading, or God add a blessing, I should say, to the reading, the studying, and the hearing of his word. God bless you all.